It's been a pretty brutal year. Let's talk about it. What's up, everybody? We're back. It's another Barncast Live. It's Kyle Rush, Daryl Daprich. Zach Blackerby should be with us in just a little bit. So be sure you're on the watch for him to jump in. And look, this is not fun to talk about. Okay. We like to have fun. We like to cut up. We like to boog. I got the hat on right now. But it's just not been a fun year for Auburn sports, not only just from a win-loss perspective, but then this past weekend, you get swept by Alabama when you're supposed to be a top five baseball team. It feels like the hits keep on coming. And no pun intended there, Dap. It's not very often you go 0-6 in the big three of men's, the big men's sports. But this year you did it. And it feels like something has to change. And there's a lot of conversations to be had. But just overall, it's not fun right now as far as this rivalry goes.
Well, it's very, very frustrating. Quite honestly, it's unacceptable. And I'm going to give it from a perspective of somebody that would be an Auburn follower that's out there, part of Auburn Nation. I know we cover it from a little different perspective, but it's frustrating for us too. I think that the reason why it's unacceptable is because it's also another unword, which is unexpected. So you understand the football valley that Auburn's been in the last 5 years and the patience that the Auburn football fans have had to deal with all these losing seasons, the bowl drought. Six in a row against Alabama. And it's to the point where you get that. But there was always a beacon. There was two College World Series appearances. There was a Final Four, some SEC titles. Auburn swept Alabama basketball with Jabari, that group. They've at least split. So you go on the road last year where this kind of downward ascent, this downward trend started. You go on the road and you beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa last year in basketball in a Final Four year. You should have closed the deal. If Alabama can do it, Auburn should have been able to do it. Close that deal, get that sweep, win it home on senior day. They don't. They let the door get cracked open. Now Alabama's won 3 in a row in basketball. They're in the Sweet 16. So what does Auburn fans start to do? We start to beat our chest about baseball. You know, you beat Georgia Tech, you pummel Georgia Tech, you win the first game of the Texas series, and then the wheels come off. And you go to Alabama, and you get swept by a team that got swept by Kentucky, albeit they came back and swept Florida, and it is in Tuscaloosa. But this is a team that wasn't even in the top 25, or maybe they were 22 in some polls, and Auburn was a top 5 baseball team, and you get swept. It's unacceptable. It's bad enough you got to deal with the football wilderness. Now it has leaked over. Me and you talked before we hit record. Even Vanderbilt, who was the suckiest program of suck in football in the SEC for years, right?
Yeah.
But when basketball season came, it beat Tennessee's eyes out some years, or at least split. And then what happened? Baseball happened. And they, you know, until Tennessee got really, really good with Vitello, they beat Tennessee in baseball. It's almost unprecedented that you could suck this bad against your rival in all three sports. How about Kentucky, Kyle? Let's talk about Kentucky. You know how bad they were in football all those years? Louisville would beat them. And then what happened come basketball season? They'd pound them.
There's no reprieve, it feels like.
It's ungodly. No reprieve.
At least this year.
It's torturous this year that you're 0-6 against your biggest rival when you should have at least – I mean, I get the basketball thing. Auburn had kind of a down year. But, you know, could you have found a way to split? Yeah. I mean, Alabama did when their years weren't so great. Should you get swept in baseball? No. Do I feel like better times are coming ahead? Yes. But right now, it's unacceptable that a program this big that puts this much money in NIL, that has these type of coaches, are looking at Alabama and staring them in the face, and they're 0-6 in the major sports.
No, and I mean, I can't disagree with any of that. I know some people are going to be like, yeah, but Auburn swept Alabama last year in baseball. Like, I get all that. And look, it's not so much we get mad about the what's a lot. Like, when I say what, like, what's happening that's making us mad? And we talk about the what's that are unacceptable. it is unacceptable to get swept by Alabama, really, in anything in baseball. It's unacceptable to get swept by them in basketball. Football, you only get 1 year. You've lost six in a row. Like, it is what it is on football. We got to turn it around. But I think what's more productive are talking about the whys. And there's a lot of folks, and I'm not saying you are this person, but there's a lot of folks, it's like if you're not as mad about the whats as I am, I don't necessarily have to tell you about the whys. If you're not as mad about the whats, then you're part of the problem. And I don't know that – I'm not saying I'm not necessarily mad about the whats, but it's like I'm just not sure if I know the answer to the whys, like why we are here where we are, or if there is no end in sight, I guess. So why don't we have a conversation around that? Are you cool with that? Like, let's talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about the whys. And we can go through sport by sport. I mean, we can start with start with football. Let's just start there, Daryl. Why is Auburn where they are, and how do we get out of it? Let's start there.
The football situation is bigger than just the rivalry with Bama. See, that's a bigger issue. We can talk about this thing about the Bama situation and being 0-6. Football supersedes that because they've been bad across the board against other schools. And why is because they've made two poor choices from a head coaching standpoint. They've missed. We talk about miss evals all the time when you're doing miss evaluations of student athletes. Alan Green and John Cohen missed. And when you miss twice in a row on football hires, it gets you in the valley for a while. Look at Tennessee. Look at some other schools. So
look at Alabama.
Look at Alabama. Yeah. I mean, so that's the problem is you can't afford in the SEC. Now, the SEC just so happened to get a lot better, even which is almost impossible. But in the last 5 or 6 years, they've added Texas and Oklahoma. Some other schools have kind of emerged and gotten better that were bottom feeders. And so you can't afford. It's an arms race. And they missed. So you can say, you know, I had someone tell me, interestingly enough, that look at Auburn pre-NIL and post-NIL. And where everybody thought Auburn was going to feast on NIL and become a better athletic program, they've actually gone downhill since NIL. Think about it. They football, basketball has not, to a certain extent. I mean, they've been to a Final Four and
in both.
And, yeah. But NIL for football, where everyone said, "Oh, it's a level playing field now. The big boys can't just buy players; everybody can." Auburn has not been as competitive and as good in the post-NIL era as they were pre-NIL in football. Why? You want to talk about why? Why? Because other schools besides the big dogs that Auburn had to compete with have now caught up with Auburn because of NIL.
Yeah.
These athletes that Auburn used to get by default because they weren't going to go to Kentucky or Vanderbilt or some of these other places, it was just going to be Alabama, Georgia, or whatever. Now we're going to other schools, and the talent is spread out all the way. And that hurt Auburn. It didn't hurt Alabama, didn't have Georgia, but it hurt Auburn because some of the have-nots have gotten some haves now.
That's a really, really good point. And when NIL became a thing for football in particular, I felt like there was a lot of desire from an Auburn standpoint, but not a lot of organization. There were teams, there were programs, and I'll just say it, you know, Alabama, obviously, they were more organized for the under-the-table type stuff than Auburn was, Georgia. And whenever you kind of had it out in the open, I felt like Auburn would thrive. But the problem is exactly what you said, is the you know, that fourth, fifth, and sixth guy that Auburn typically would get, now you may only get the fourth guy, and the fifth and sixth guy may go to Vanderbilt. They may go to Kentucky. They may go to, you know, insert school.
Missouri.
I mean,
you know, that you're losing guys to Missouri. And Kyle, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to make this – this is not about where I'm from or, you know – there are two coaches at the University of Pittsburgh right now that are secretly and privately complaining to the Board of Regents because of the lack of preparation and the lack of effort and the lack of a leadership when it comes to NIL. You want to guess who the athletic director is at the University of Pittsburgh?
Who's that?
Allen Green.
Allen Green.
Who was the athletic director when the NIL era was ushered in for Auburn?
There you go. Allen Green.
It's not rocket science. Stuff like that, reputations and habits follow you wherever you go. And when this was ushered in, Auburn either underestimated it or didn't plan for it and has been playing catch up ever since.
And do you think that maybe Auburn, from a football perspective, we'll get to basketball and baseball. We got a long show, so we'll get to basketball and baseball in just a little bit. But do you think Auburn also maybe drank some of their own Kool-Aid from a culture standpoint? And maybe we're guilty of that, you know, the Toomer's trees and the Tiger Walk and the facility and the orange and blue and the Eagle Fly Good, all that stuff sort of, you know, you always hear them say, you know, you get them to Auburn and it sells itself. Like, do you think maybe there's a portion of it that we've bought into our own Kool-Aid a little bit? And maybe maybe it's going to take something that we're seeing right now with, you know, I think at least the early signs under Golish, where it was going to take something, a complete upheaval of, yeah, I mean, the orange and blue ain't going to get it done on in and of itself. The AU on the helmet's not going to get it done in and of itself anymore. It's got to be buy-in. You know, I know a lot of people are going to point to, you know, you think about the 4th and 30 goal from the 31, and you think about, you know, Cam Coleman, and I know he was fighting for extra yards, but like the wherewithal to get out of bounds at that point in time, like these clutch moments where Auburn, you know, the culture of winning's not quite there, and we just sort of lean on family and we lean on vibes. I think maybe some of that is just us drinking our own Kool-Aid, and you need an upheaval. And I'm hoping at least this goalish era could maybe yield some better results in that department.
It's absolutely valid. And here's why, since we're talking about being 0-6 against our rival, Auburn leans into Auburn being Auburn, love Auburn and it'll love you back, Auburn family, and thinks that those things supersede, you know, think that that's enough. Alabama leaned into that heavy in an era that other programs passed them by with Dubose and Shula. And even Franchione to a certain extent. It was the Alabama tradition. Come play for Alabama and all the national championships. And we're Bama. And what happened? They absolutely receded. And it took somebody to come in and say, the culture needs to change. We're not resting on our laurels. It's just not enough to say we're Bama. We have to shake this up. We have to shake this up. And that means there's not a Bama way or an Auburn way. The way we've always done things. And, I was talking to somebody this weekend that was very, very close to a former coach that was at Auburn for close to 30 years that said Auburn is its own worst enemy, because what people love about Auburn is also Auburn's biggest weakness, because they will not break free from the way things have always been done. This coach said, I should have been fired on two different staffs when a new coach came in. And they kept me just because they said, so-and-so and so-and-so has been here forever. He stays. See, that's the problem. It's like, this is how we do it. It's an Auburn thing. And you've got to cut the cord and say it's time to do things differently. And when NIL came and the transfer portal and this whole new way of doing things with college football, I truly believe that Auburn still tried to hold on to some of its ways, man, and traditions, right? And didn't fully. Sometimes you got to be cutthroat, Kyle. You just do. And you've got to, it's going to hurt people's feelings. Sometimes you're going to hurt donors' feelings, and you're going to hurt alumni's feelings. And they're not going to feel as important as they think they need to feel. But you know what? If I truly love Auburn, if I don't have access to things anymore that I think I should have access, that my check gives me, but I have 11 wins, I would take the 11 wins over just feeling like I'm, you know, more important than I am.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And look, it's personal too, I'm sure, with you and with me, because, you know, as we cover Auburn and we, and you know, we invest our time in Auburn, like we create relationships. Like I had some buds that have survived, you know, Harsin transition and a, you know, into Freeze, and like you hate, and then now Golish comes in and there's only like two or three guys on the actual football staff that were here last year. And that hurts, you know what I mean? Like that really, that hurts your feelings. But like kind of what you said, is that what Auburn needs? Like to stop getting in this cycle of just running it back, as the kids like to say, is continuing to just run it back over and over again. I guess from a football perspective, it gives me a little bit more hope that maybe the tide is turning, no pun intended, here, that at least from a doing it the same way over and over again, maybe something's changing on the football side.
Yeah, let me tell you, because when Harsin came in, he didn't like it. He wanted to shake it up, but he couldn't, so he went along with it begrudgingly and pouted and didn't buy in and didn't recruit and was like, had a get you back attitude. If I can't do it my way and you're going to force feed me this, then I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. Hugh Freeze came in with the all shucks, good old boy attitude and just went along with everything.
Yeah.
Including keeping certain coaches that he was told he had to keep and just went along with it and said, and then look how that turned out. Golish is different.
Yeah.
Golish is like, no, and this is how I want to do it. And this is how we're going to do it. And if I hurt your feelings, get over it. And oh, by the way, if we're going to be 30, 45, 50 minutes later and make the media wait for us to get through with practice because we want to run reps, if I'm media that gives a crap about Auburn, I don't care. Yeah. I'll wait another hour if it means not losing games that you're supposed to lose.
Trust me, man.
But see, there's too many people that don't think that way, and I get it because that's their jobs and they're different than us. You know, we try to be hybrids of the two, be professionals, but also we're invested in Auburn doing well. It hurts when they don't. I'm not gonna hide that or apologize for that. We're not homers because we'll call it like it is, but we want to see them do well. There are some media that could care less, could give a crap. So I don't care if I have to sit there an extra hour. If that means they're running that drill to get it right so that somebody knows to go out of bounds in the fourth quarter,
then so be it.
Then so be it. Then I'll wait.
Or they're running extra so that they're conditioned so that they can think and they're not tired late to be focused on that particular play. I'm with you. And yeah, it is frustrating sometimes because you make plans around a certain schedule and then that schedule runs long. But I, like I told people, like, yeah, I may miss some time of doing something, but it means that team is they're trying to find an excuse to do an extra rep to get better. And it just, I don't know, it feels different. I know we need to go back to the intramural fields. We need to do this. It's like, nah, man, we need to do whatever. What we need to do is hire somebody and then stop saying, hey, we need to be doing this because we don't know what the hell we're talking about. Let's just be honest. Hire a guy and actually let him do his thing. I joked and, you know, I know you're right there with me on this, but like it always feels like the people in power, there's always a fight. And it was like, you know, I want this guy. And for once, I was like, you know what? I hope they get whoever they want to get. Because if they get whoever they want to get, one of two things is going to happen. It's either going to work and everybody's going to be excited and it's going to be an I told you so, or it's going to crash and burn, and then they're going to have to be like, okay, here's the deal. Maybe we don't know what we're doing. Maybe we don't know what we're talking about, and we need to figure out somebody and give them the keys, and then we'll back them up and just roll with it. And I really, really hope that Golish is that guy for football.
I think he is. I think he's not afraid of doing things differently. He's very, very structured. He's got a culture that he wants to impose. He wants to impose his will. He's not afraid of stepping on toes or hurting feelings. And at the end of the day, and despite that, players run through freaking walls for him.
Yeah.
You have a coach that's not afraid to tell it like it is and hurt your feelings and make you wet your pants. But yet you follow that coach wherever he goes. What does that tell you? That speaks volumes.
100%. Reverend Barnbooster says, in his opinion, Auburn sports needs to reset to one standard. Compete for titles, develop players, and avoid drift from W's. Stop living off emotional swings, which I'm with you there, on wins and losses. Player development should be the center of the athletic department. I can't argue with any of those points. Now, we'll switch to basketball, and because I know this is a very emotional topic. Look, Auburn had a really good run with Bruce. You had a really good run. You won your fair share of games in general, and you won your fair share against Alabama. You swept them in a couple of years. You split with them a bunch, and you won titles. You did, in my opinion, that was what I expect from a particular men's athletic program, athletic team, sorry. Hey, we're going to go up. We're not scared to play anybody. We're not scared to play Alabama. We're not scared to play anybody in the SEC. We'll go toe-to-toe, and we're going to win our share, and we're going to probably lose our share too, but we're going to be in the conversation. You just went through a big period, okay? And, like, I think everybody knew that couldn't last forever. So now it's about how do you transition into that next phase? So you have to look at it. Was this year the expectation, like, this is what we should expect? Like, you're just going to lose two, you're going to go 0-2 against Alabama every year? Or maybe, just maybe, the upheaval, the roster, and everything that's going on, maybe that's more of the exception than what we can expect moving forward. I'd love to get your take on this year in particular. It sucks when it's compounded with everything else, but if you take it in a vacuum, is it as dire in basketball as I think a lot of people want to make it be?
No, I think it's cyclical. I think people forget that there was a four-year stretch for Auburn that they won more games than even any Alabama basketball program did in 4 years. I mean, that was like the state. Like, when people used to talk about the Wimp Sanderson years, Auburn in 4 years reached a level that even Alabama didn't reach under him as far as wins and Final Fours and SEC. So I think the basketball thing is cyclical. And the reason why I think it's cyclical is because I remember Cliff Ellis having some teams that swept Bama. Okay. I remember Bama coming back with Gottfried and owning Auburn. And then they got Avery Johnson, and Auburn came back and even beat with Tony, you know, Tony Barbie teams beat Alabama. So I think that's cyclical. I think it's not as dominant as it is in football, and especially that you get to play them twice. It's such a big deal to play them twice. So I think giving Steven with this, you know, general manager that got named, and giving him another year and the tools and the culture to build it his way instead of just throwing a roster on his lap. And by God, that's what happened. Okay. 100%. He inherited a roster that he did. Now, people will say he had a hand in getting some of these guys here, but there's a difference between having a hand and having the final say.
Yep.
I guarantee you, in fact, I know it for a fact, there are players that Stephen Pearl probably didn't want on the Auburn roster that Dad had final say, and he went along because he's not the head coach. That if he would have had his say, he would have picked somebody else or recruited another kid. So now that he has the final say and there's a roster not being dumped in his lap and he's got a general manager, let's see what happens with this roster next year. And, oh, by the way, no one wants to talk about the NIT, and I know people laugh about it and all that, but they're still winning basketball games.
Yeah.
I mean, they've still won three games in a row. They're in a national tournament. And this tournament is no different, in my opinion, than if you win the preseason NIT. If you're, you know, when it used to be in Madison Square Garden and you hang that banner, it's a prestigious tournament. It's not the NCAA tournament. It's not, it, you know, I get it. People think it's a joke, but it's still a tournament that they keep scoring. So you might as well keep winning. You might as well keep playing. So they are. And don't think for a minute that stuff isn't happening here that's going to be invaluable for this team next year and for Stephen Pearl as a head coach, especially a first-year head coach. So I think basketball is cyclical, and basketball has the potential to turn around rather quickly and faster than football does.
Yeah, of course. It doesn't take that many players to fill out a basketball roster. And I think you got a good core, and they got some good experience, and I think they're getting some really good experience in this particular NIT run. You got a game on Thursday, right? We play the second.
Correct.
Is that Thursday, and you're Thursday 6.5-point favorite there. So against Illinois State. So, you know, who knows if you run off two more wins, you win the NIT. It feels like, it sounds like Brian Coleman has come in already and has some sort of bullets in the chamber, so to speak, with some guys in mind. So as you know, as the portal opens and as the new roster takes shape, again, let's get out of the we gotta expect it to be run and everything be and behave attitude, personality be like what we think Auburn basketball should be like, which is what it was under Pearl, the other Pearl. And let's see what can happen, you know, with Steven as well. So my feelings are not necessarily hurt as much about the basketball losses to Alabama this year as maybe most. To me,
I feel like the first one got away a little bit. Up 10, and you had to play against Bediako and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I like to just call things, say it like they are. I mean, numbers don't lie. You can look at the what's and the why's and the how's, but if Auburn wins this NIT, they are looking at a year that everyone considers a down year, and they will have gone 22-15. Really? Yeah. Auburn would have taken 22-15 before Bruce Pearl got there. Even Lebo couldn't get to 20. I mean, so let's pump the brakes a little bit on that. Let's reevaluate. See what this cat does as a general manager, the players he brings in.
Lebo's culture. Best team got knocked out in the third round
of the NIT.
Second round of the NIT.
Should have won that game. Something Baylor. Happened fluky. I remember that team pretty well, and they should have went on. But that team also should have been in the NCAA tournament. They got absolutely screwed to not be in the tournament. So perspective.
Sure.
You know, and then let's see what happens. I'm excited to start seeing the transfer portal dudes hit in April. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun time of year to look and see some of these guys. I think Auburn fans will be really, really excited to what this roster is going to look like.
I couldn't agree more. All right, now let's shift our focus now to baseball, because I think this one, I can't tell exactly how to feel so much about this one, because I still feel like this is a really good baseball team. And I think this was the reason it hurts so bad is because Auburn fans are so desperate for a winner. We kind of hitched our wagon to this is the one that's going to – this is the team that we can ride. This is the team that can beat Alabama. This is the team that can go the distance. And then you go to Tuscaloosa and – I mean, you just get swept. You had a big home series against Texas. You win the first one in a really emotional game. You had an emotional rally in the second game. Not quite enough. Obviously, we know what happened in the third game. Then you go out and you blast South Alabama. And this is right before you blasted Georgia Tech, before that Texas deal. So you go to Tuscaloosa and you get blanked. You're just really bad at the plate, seemingly all three games. And people are I don't really know how to – I can't really tell as far as from a fan base as a whole. It feels like people are really super critical of Butch here, maybe more than anything. And I want to talk through this. So let's talk about baseball.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, first of all, people need to not lose perspective or what we're talking about here. Everyone that keeps saying Auburn baseball will be fine, they'll be fine at the end. Okay, I get that. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about it doesn't excuse. I don't care that Auburn's going to host a regional. Right now, I care that they got swept by their rival. That's what we're saying. We're talking about the title of this is Alabama owns Auburn in three major sports. It's not that Auburn will go further than Alabama in baseball. They probably will. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter right now. That doesn't make me feel any better. That shouldn't make you feel any better. You're coming off getting swept. You're not hitting the baseball well at all, period. You're just not. I mean, you get run ruled in game one. You can't scratch runs together. One of your best hitters' body language is awful and horrible and got benched today in Bub Terrell. And so I don't know what the deal is. I know that it's not Butch's fault that the sticks stop. I mean, he's switching the lineup. He's doing what he's trying to do. He's still the same head coach that had them third in the country, you know, just a week ago or whatever. But that doesn't matter at the end of the year. Yeah, I think they can get it right. Yeah, I think the bats will get hot. But right now we're talking about the arms race that is within the state. And it's unacceptable that you get swept in baseball on the road, and one of those is run ruled by your rival who's not ranked, and you are. That's underachieving. So you got to figure it out. I don't know what you need to do. I don't know if you need to put more of an emphasis on that series and say, you know what, I may pitch somebody. Yeah, I may do some things in this series that I would normally not do instead of saving somebody for the next SC series. That maybe you need to put more emphasis on that kind of stuff.
So that's kind of where I was going to go is A, do we think maybe there's not enough emphasis on it? Should there be more so? Should you, I guess, I don't know if gamble's the right word, but, you know, do you put so much into one series that it may cost you another just because it's Alabama? Or like what happens if, you know, you still end up, you know, like you said, hosting a, you know, super regional or a regional or whatever, and you get deep into the tournament. Like, I just sometimes I wonder, and I don't even really know in which direction to go with this, because sometimes I do feel like we put too much emphasis on the rivalry versus the season, like mm-hmm. like the success of the season, like we live and die by it. But on the flip side, like a lot of times those are barometers. Those season are barometers. So yeah. What's the balance there, man? That's the part I struggle with.
Well, the optics and the perception matter. And when you're on the BTA end of it, then you better put all your freaking eggs in one basket and get it turned around. I get it if it's like equal, right? And you're winning some and they're losing some, and then you don't have to put all your eggs in one basket and risk a series later on in the year just to win this series or win this game. But when you're getting it handed to you by your rival, you need to be all in. And here's why. Anytime, and I don't remember which Auburn coach said this, but it rings so true. Anytime something good happens for your rival, it's absolutely bad for you. And when you are 0-6 in the three major sports against your rival, it is horrible for you from an optics standpoint, perception, fan support. And oh, by the way, you are recruiting against them more than any other school in the SEC for student athletes in all three sports. So, yes, you better place more of a major emphasis on it. If it was even right now, Kyle, I would say you just let it ride. I'm not one of those guys that says, beat Bama and my season's made, you know, that kind of stuff where people would. I don't do that. But in this scenario, when you're really struggling against them as an athletic program, you better do whatever it takes to win that game or that series to get it turned around. Even if it means bringing your midweek starter in the game earlier and getting it handed to you by Georgia Tech Tuesday. I don't care. Win the Alabama game. At least don't get swept. Be all in. Because it does matter. And when you're on the back end of it, it matters a lot more than if things were equitable.
So again, I'm not putting words in your mouth when I say this, but like, do you think that Butch or baseball and then basketball for football should be more cognizant of the other sports? Like, in other words, like, man, you lost to football and you lost to basketball. Like, we can't do that. Or for basketball, man, like I go back to last year. Okay. Right. I go back to last year. Obviously you lose in football and you win the first game on the road and you've clinched the SEC with a couple of games left. Like, what's more important in it? Like, should they have been 1,000% locked in, not rested anybody, like go all out? I mean, it did take a buzzer beater at the end of the game to win that one at home, but I guess that scenario, do you kind of get where I'm going with it?
Yeah, you don't say, okay, we've already got the number one seed locked up. We already know what our seeding is going to be in the SEC tournament. We don't care. We want a guy. We want a load management. We want to load manage for the tournament. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. And here's why you can't do that. You make an excellent point that I think people don't lean into enough, that other coaches of other sports have a responsibility to uphold the honor and get it back going the other way. What did Bruce Pearl do when he came off the court the year with Jabari and them, and they swept Alabama? What was the motion that he made?
He did crane kick.
Why did he do the crane kick?
Because they did it against football
in overtime. In football, yeah. That was a F you, I'm answering you with what you did to us in football. We just got you back in basketball. And that needs to be the mentality. And I'm not saying Stephen Pearl doesn't have that mentality, because I think he does. I think he wants to say, oh, we want to, you know, and I think Butch Thompson has that mentality. But at the expense of, oh, I can't burn my bullpen, or I can't go all in here with my midweek starter to come in the fourth inning and see if he can, you know, stop some stuff and us get some run. I don't care. You win that game so that you don't get swept. And the momentum now, and from a recruiting standpoint, it's hard. The perception is hard. Now, Auburn fans never seem to learn their lesson. God bless them. They'll be out in full force at Plainsman Park next week. It's not gonna hurt attendance. It's not going to hurt attendance in basketball next year when season ticket packages come around. It's not going to hurt it in football. But at some point, it needs to matter more, and it needs to be felt more, and there needs to be more accountability. And the fans, they are deserved so much more because of this wilderness that they've been in the last 5 years.
Yeah. I don't know where – I don't know if I'm all the way there on it, but I get what you're saying. And they do need to feel it more, for sure. I want to ask you this, and this was kind of a discussion that you and Zach and I were having earlier today, but do you think rivalries in general, from a player standpoint, are losing their luster? And because of money, because of, you know, transferring and all the portal guys that you're getting from all over the place and not being with a school for multiple years and experiencing it. Do you think that it's a two-parter? Number one, do you think that's factoring in? And then number two, do you think that just because you lost, that means that to Alabama, that means that that particular Alabama team, it meant more from a rivalry standpoint than you? Or could they just have – you know, been a better team, or just caught you at the right time?
I think overall kids don't care as much as they used to across the board. I think it's more of a mercenary type model than it is growing up, hating a particular team, getting to play for the team that you loved. And I can remember, Kyle, Auburn football players making comments, some of them, about how the Georgia game was bigger to them than the Alabama game because they were from Georgia. And I'm okay with that. That tells me they care. Not that they didn't want to beat Alabama, but that tells me they were emotionally invested. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Because they could play for them next year.
They could play for them next year. So they're like, I'm not gonna piss Kirby off, you know? So I think that that's part of the problem. But I think it's across the board. And I think I think when you look at an Alabama sweeping Auburn, I don't ever see a scenario where it's like, oh, because Alabama cared more or Alabama wanted it more. I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of catching them. And do I think Alabama's more talented? No. I just think sometimes it's just not your weekend. The bats get silent, whatever. Basketball, same thing. I mean, does Aiden Holloway want to beat Auburn more than he wants to beat anybody else? Yes. Does he even realize he's beat Auburn because he's so high when he comes off the court? No. I think in those certain scenarios, yes, because it's personal. He played at Auburn, so now he's at Alabama. So, that's different. But I don't think that from across the board, I think all student athletes right now have more of a mindset of an employee or a professional. And it's just different. And I want that pride back. I want that anger back. I want that chippiness back. And I don't know if we'll ever get there again. I do know from a football standpoint, again, I keep saying this, it absolutely, more than losing seven games last year, if somebody said to me, what's the lowest point of that season for you? It's watching goofball Drinkwit stand on a pillar and act like an idiot. It's Kirby acting that like an
overtime
idiot.
Overtime.
It's Missouri players taunting and intimidating. That's the stuff that I think will absolutely go away next year.
So let me ask you this, and you may think Golish is the key to this, but do you think that Auburn more than most benefited from those rivalries and from the impact of them and from the care, the fight, like the yearning to want to win? Do you think Auburn may have benefited from that rivalry and the intensity of that rivalry, maybe even more than Alabama, for that period of the period of time before this NIL and loyalties changing? I think like the chip on your shoulder, like hate, benefited Auburn way more than it benefited Alabama in that rivalry, and it feels like maybe it's a more of a detriment to Auburn than maybe most because of the lack of just fire, the lack of just like growing up wanting to beat Alabama or hate Alabama. I don't know. Do you get where I'm going?
I absolutely get what you're going at. And I know three or four former players that said they fed off the disrespect, always feeling like they were the little brother in the state, even when they were winning. It was like, what does Alabama need to do to get the Iron Bowl rivalry turned around? And they were like 3 in a row, 4 in a row, 5 in a row. They fed off the disrespect.
Yeah.
They fed off being the Cal College. They fed off being the program that didn't have all the claimed national championships that Alabama did. And they used that as fuel. They used that to absolutely – I mean, the 89 game, Quentin Riggins will tell you, when Alabama came into Jordan-Hare at 10-0, they were already talking about what the parade route was going to be. They were going to go play for a national title in the Sugar Bowl against Miami, and they were going to be 11-0 when they did. They fed off that. And this Auburn team doesn't seem to have – I mean, not this Auburn team. Auburn teams in the past just didn't have the sense of history or pride or chip on their shoulder or the angriness. I want to – and see, this is why I think this team right now is constructed – with the Cole Bests and the Siglers and some of these guys, even that came from USF, that are coming over pissy. They're wanting some of the SEC. And I think Golish is going to absolutely stoke that.
It's less about Auburn, I feel like, and more about Golish. In other words, these guys just believe in him. And that may be the difference. That may be what changes it. It's not so much continuing to stoke the fire of Alabama versus Auburn, but like have a bunch of guys that are just willing to go to war for their head coach. And it doesn't matter who's across on the other side of the field. So it's a fascinating discussion. I know times are changing and it is a different day. It doesn't excuse going 0-6. It hasn't happened very many times. I think it's only happened like maybe three or four other times since like 1970. I think Auburn's gone like 5-1 a few times in that stretch, but I don't know that Auburn's ever. Can you think of a time Auburn swept? I don't know.
I know in 2019, Auburn had one of the best athletic years you could ever have with winning 9 games and beating Alabama in the Iron Bowl, going to the Final Four and going to the College World Series. But even that year, a doormat Alabama baseball team, I think, took 2 of 3. And I think back then you might have even played Alabama twice in the season because there was no Oklahoma and Texas. So it's, you know, and that team, that I think that 2019 Final Four team split with Alabama. But yeah, it's hard to do that. It's hard to go 6-0. I think Almer's done it a couple of times, but it's very, very difficult to do. Because remember, you know, Alabama was the first team of this, Auburn was the first team to get in the College World Series in 76, but Alabama had a lot of success with Magadan and some of those guys. And then Alabama baseball just went away. It just, no one cared about it. While Auburn was trying to, the Tim Hudson, Gabe Gross years, Auburn had a resurgence. And so it's just, that's cyclical too. I think baseball is very, very cyclical as it was.
For sure. Whatever it is, whatever we've been talking about, it's not fun. And it doesn't have to mean, though, that this baseball season's over. It doesn't have to mean anything. What I'll be interested to see is, like, it ain't getting any easier. You got to turn around and go to Georgia Tech on Tuesday, and then you got to come home and play Arkansas, who was the number four team in the country before they just got swept at Florida. So it's not like there's a reprieve anywhere.
There is a reprieve. There's a way to get a little bit of this back before you go into the next calendar year. And that is, everybody tonight that is of faith, when you hit your knees tonight, pray that Auburn plays Alabama in the SEC baseball championship.
There you go.
And beat them and knock them out of the SEC tournament. Right. And they were thinking, oh, maybe we get to host a regional. No, we knocked you out and go on in advance. That's the only reprieve you get in satisfaction. You knock them out of the tournament and you end the season with the W taste in your mouth.
I like it. Dap, good stuff, man. It's tough times, but we're going to be here through it all. And thanks all y'all for being in here on a Sunday night talking fairly negative for the most part. I wanted to get to – I'll tell you what. Let's backtrack for a second. One last quick topic, okay, because mm-hmm. I see a lot of people in the chat saying it. Do you point to the athletic director?
Not yet. I do not. I think if anybody was sitting here looking at who they have as far as coaches, would you choose any differently? Maybe from a Stephen Pearl standpoint, you would. If you had that option. You can't even judge Golish yet. You can judge him on the freeze hire, but he did a good job during the Pearl era making sure Pearl stayed happy. He didn't hire Butch Thompson, but you're not going to fire Butch Thompson. He's really, you know, you judge an athletic director on his hire and his fires and then the trajectory athletic program. You can't base that off 1 year when you came off a year last year that was so successful, except right. for football. So, yeah, it's back and forth, but I would say that he is much more in the NIL game and much more has his finger on the pulse of this athletic program than Alan Green ever did. So as of right now, it'd be premature, I think, to say that. Yeah,
I think it's a little bit of emotional, honestly. Yeah. Until maybe if Golish were to crash and burn, or if you know you go yes. run out another couple of years with Steven this way, and you don't replace him with a better option.
Real simple for you. Let's just cut to the chase before we go. If Golish goes out and has a losing season in his first year next year and Stephen Pearl doesn't get back to the NCAA tournament, you find a new athletic director.
It might be time. I'm with you. I think that's easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Pretty
enough.
Simple.
Guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back again. We'll be back again tomorrow. You can catch Daryl on Locked On Auburn. On what is it?
Wednesdays and Fridays. Don't ever put me in the Tuesday slot. I cannot wear the shoes of the Tuesday co-host. Okay,
it trips me up because we record on Mondays.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Guys, y'all take it easy. We'll be back again soon. War Eagle.